Hey everyone, my name is Pastor Phil. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. And we are so glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us. We hope that you're blessed by today's message.
Well, good morning. Well, let's try that again. Good morning. There you go. Goodness, it's good to be with you. I know you're thinking, that is not Josh. I understand. That's okay. This morning, we are doing our location pastor swap, and so we do it once a year, and so you get his younger, better-looking brother, if that's okay with you, all right? No, just honored to be able to be with you here in Goodrich. My name is Caleb. I'm the location pastor in Holly, as well as our gathering pastor, and it really is truly a privilege to be with you here in Goodrich. I know many of you have met many of you and just was excited to come be with you here to see what God is doing. And you're saying, what does that mean? Well, hearing all of these incredible stories of baptisms, salvations, incredible stories of what God is doing in marriages and families here at our Goodrich location. And so I want you to know this from a guy that's cheering you on in Holly, way to go. That's so awesome to see what God is doing. And so excited to be able to be a part of that just for a few minutes this morning to fill the place that my older brother preaches, and just a high privilege for me. I'll say this about Josh. Josh is my spiritual hero, and he is. He really is. His faithfulness to the word, through all situations in life. And so this is a big, big thing for me to step into the place where he preaches. And so little different style. I like to yell. He's a yeller. I like to move. He moves nowhere. I realize that. But it is great to be able to do that. Last week, Pastor Josh preached really a great sermon on devotion. Right? If you were here, the idea of devotion, being devoted to the work and the ministry of gathering with the church. We love the importance of gathering with the church. It really is, there's power in the gathering of the church. What's incredible about that is the Bible says where two or more are gathered, Jesus is among us. And so the reality of that this morning is, yes, as you grabbed your coffee, as you sat in your seat, or as you sang a song, or as you're listening to this guy preach, the reality of that this morning is, wow, the very creator of all the universe is here. Think about that. That is an overwhelming thing to think, truly grasp. And I know for many of us, we're like, I don't grasp that. And that makes two of us, and that's okay. But I love clinging to that truth. But this morning, we're going to continue in our Reach, Gather, Grow in the Book of Acts series. And so if you have a Bible, a device, something to follow along, read along, Acts chapter 2, okay? And so we're going to be in Acts chapter 2. And so while you flip there, I know Josh's cadence is to not talk while you flip there. I don't know how to not talk. And so I want you to know that, all right? But we're going to be in Acts chapter 2 as you're turning there. But we know Jesus gives a commissioning or a mission for us as the church or us as believers. A couple weeks ago, you were taught on reaching the world, right? Reaching the world, the importance of reaching the lost, a passion to see people saved. I love Paul at the beginning of Romans, really impassioned by seeing people saved. He so much so, he literally would say, you know what? I'll go to hell so that Jews would be saved. He was so filled with compassion for lost people. That should be the heartbeat of the church. And that is so important for us. And last week, as we kind of introduced Josh preaching on the idea of being devoted and what that devotion truly means, a focus or a prioritization of the gathering of the church, looking to see what that means. But in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus gives this mission. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." I love adding that end part because it's important. Yes, go, live out the work of Christ, live his mission out, disciple people, baptize people, and guess what? You're not doing it alone. You're not doing it alone. I am with you always to the end of the age. Man, that's a comforting word from Jesus. Hey, I'm getting ready to ascend. I'm getting ready to step out of this earth, but guess what? I'm with you as you live out the work and the ministry and the calling, the ups and the downs of life. I am with you. And so this morning we're going to look at that, the last portion. And it's not really a final portion, because if you've been around and heard us preach this series, it doesn't just stop at grow, where we just sit and grow and simply sit and fat and happy in our seats and just feed me more. No, as we grow, we do what? We go back to reach, right? And so we believe the mission, the work of Christ is cyclical. And so as we reach, as we gather, as we grow, we go back to the mission field, not just a worldwide mission field, but the mission field on our streets and our homes and our workplaces and our neighborhoods and our sports teams. That is such an important aspect and dynamic for us to live out. But let's look at Acts chapter 2, as many of you flip there or turn there. We look at the progression of Acts chapter 2 as an important understanding of how we get to where we get to. And ultimately, you see the reach, gather, grow in this process. Beginning of Acts, Peter and the disciples are in the upper room. Really prior to the upper room, they're commissioned by Jesus, as we just read, to go live out the gospel. Go preach, go baptize, go disciple. And then Jesus ascends, as Pastor Job shared last week, about 120 people there being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Peter preaches a message, the message at Pentecost, where thousands are saved. It's an incredible message. If you've never read through it, read through it. You see just his clarity and his communication and his direct tone to say, "Hey, you know what? Listen up. I'm going to preach about Jesus." And he does. And then at the end of Acts 2, verse 37, we see the response of that. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart." I love that. Preaching brings conviction. I know Pastor Josh talked about that last week, the idea of messages tickling your ears. I don't know anyone that wants their ears tickled, by the way. Like, literally, that's the weirdest thing, an idea. Like, hey, tickle my ears. No, that sounds super weird. I feel weird even saying that from up here. Okay, all right. But the idea is it's saying something that feels good, or you know what, that doesn't hurt. But the reality is, preaching should bring conviction, not by the words of a pastor, but by the work of the Holy Spirit. Like, wow, if you agree with every sermon you ever hear, you may need to go hear a different sermon. Like, really? Yeah. There should be some preaching and go, whoa, that didn't feel good. When I was a kid, at our Waterford location, it was a Faith Baptist Church. There was a guy that would always respond to the preaching with, "Ouch." He would say it out loud. And at the beginning, you go, and now you understand, like, oh, that's a truth. I didn't like that, but I liked it. I'm not sure what to do with it. He'd always say that. He subbed in amen for ouch, and that's okay. You don't have to do that this morning, all right? Ouch, there you go. But now when they heard this, the people They were cut to the heart in verse 37 of chapter 2. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? They were looking for a response. What do we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. As Ephesians says, your salvation will be sealed with the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Man, I'm here today as someone that's been saved that was far off. As anyone else was far off from the work of the Lord and God saved them, amen. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, teach them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. I loved, Josh pointed that out last week. He went from 120 to 3,000 in a split second, just in a few days. It's amazing, the work of the Lord. But it didn't stop there, as Pastor Josh preached in verse 42, and they devoted themselves. The author here, Luke, is emphasizing this spiritual dedication, this devotion to the work of the Lord. What did they devote themselves to? Just a quick overview reminder of last week. The teaching and the fellowship, the breaking of bread and the prayers. Those four things are so imperative for us to devote ourselves to. Focusing and asking the question of what do we devote our lives to? Man, we devote our lives, so I'll make it even more personal. I devote my life to many things that really, truly don't matter eternally. Where I'm like, oh, okay, how are my priorities? What am I placing in front of God? But this morning, I want to really deep dive or look at verses 43 through 47. In verse 43, Luke continues to chronicle what the events are happening here. It says, an awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as had need, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Would you join me in prayer on what we'll look at this morning? God, we love you, we praise you, we honor you, we glorify you. God, we ask that your spirit move in this place this morning. God, as we open your word, we believe it is living and active. We ask for conviction. God, we ask that your Holy Spirit convict, cut to the heart. God, as we look to live for you, God, thank you for all that you're doing here in Goodrich. God, it's amazing to see your hand, your work. God, we just praise you. It's what you've done, and we give you glory and honor. God, this morning I ask that I get out of the way. May your Holy Spirit speak through me, through your word. God, we pray for that. Boldly. God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. So I read verses 43 through 47, and you see now the kind of the outworking or the growth of people beginning to happen. We see the change starting to happen, or if you've been and you know this word, the idea of sanctification beginning, where they are justified, they've experienced justification. God has saved them. Now the sanctification process, where the Lord is now beginning to change them through the power of the Holy Spirit. And verse 43 says, an awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs are being done through the apostles. That word awe is important. It's just the idea of a reverence or a holy fear. began to sweep all those that experienced. They began to go, whoa, we are now beginning to see who God is. We're now beginning to see his power, his authority in amazing ways. They're seeing it through signs and miracles, but the reality is this awe overtook the crowd. And as we begin to think about that, they begin to view God correctly. They begin to place God and ourselves in proper placement. They begin to say, whoa, God, you are incredible. I think of Moses in the tabernacle going, God, I just want to see you. God, can I see you? And God allows him to see his backside. And what is recorded is Moses is literally glowing. They can see the glow on his face because he experiences who God is. This morning, if you miss everything else I say, you're like, man, this guy is spasmodic up front. I want you to know this. We need to understand who God is. God is incredible. Man, God deserves our glory. God deserves our worship. God deserves like, hey, God, I want to give you all of me. And that's the beauty of the awe, the reverence that we should have with God. God, I love you. I can't grasp all that you are, but man, God, I just want to praise you. And that should pour out of our lives, not just as we gather together on a 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. See, the growth in our lives is that begins to pour out of our lives even on Monday mornings. Even when the Lions lose, normally, all right? Like, oh my goodness, like that's frustrating. Or when the difficulties of life, and now you're like, did you say the difficulties of life when the Lions lose? I know, I have first world problems, all right? But the reality is, wow, God, I'm in awe of who you are. The writer of Proverbs records this. The fear, or if you would, the awe of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What does that mean? I'm not fearful of what God's going to do. No, I'm at a place of placing God at his rightful place where I no longer compete like we think we're competing with God for my future. Or I no longer compete with God for what I think I know. God, you are God. You are in control. You are all-knowing, you are all-powerful, you deserve glory, and I don't. You see the difference there? Come on, 9 o'clock, you see the difference? That's a big difference, because the reality is, if we think we are all-knowing, if we think we've got it all together, if we think we don't need to be sanctified, we don't truly need God. Well, I've arrived. I've attended church this many times. That's awesome. Glad you have, but guess what? No one in here has arrived. Not one person. None of us. The reality is there's the idea of like, well, as I get older, I grow in maturity. Hopefully, it's not just an automatic. It's not just a guarantee. You see, that awe of the work of God is a placement of our realization of God. I want you to work on me. I want to reflect you more. I want to grow in you more. I want to be more like you. God, I've not arrived. You mold me. You shape me. I just want to be clay in the potter's hand. God, you make me what you want me to be. So the Bible says knowledge puffs up. Well, you know what? I'm working through. I'm arrived. See, the sad reality for many of us, we can sit and go, yeah, no, I want to grow in my knowledge and understanding of who the Lord is. I want to, but I'm okay right now. I got enough. I got enough knowledge. I figured it out. But yet when we have proper awe of the work of Christ, we'll begin to say, God, you are who you are. God, you shape me, you mold me, you make me what you want me to be. I want to strive to look more like you. It's proper placement of who God is. Continues in verse 44. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as had need. This growth that they're now beginning to continue to experience, they're placing God with where he ought to be, but now they're having a priority change. Things that mattered before don't matter as much or don't matter at all. And that's a hard message to preach to Americans. It really is. For many of us, we like things. We like our retirement. We like planning. We like our cars. We like our homes. None of those things are a bad thing. I'm not getting up here to preach that. But the reality is, just as Pastor Josh preached, our devotion is to what? Is our devotion to the things of this world? Is our devotion to the things that Jesus says that rust and moss can destroy? Or is it for eternal things? And in many cases, my hands way up, I begin to get mixed up with my priorities. And I have to look and go, what are you thinking? What? Come on, let's reprioritize what we're trying to be. What really truly matters? And a priority changed. The things that mattered, and you can see if you read further in Acts, man, there was others that had some issues with that. They begin to lie about what they sold, what they didn't sell. It's an interesting story. But here in Acts 2, it says they had all things in common. They begin to realize, man, the things of this world, how can they be used for the work, the ministry of the Lord? How can they advance the gospel? Do others need things that I have that really, you know what, it's my third, it's my fourth, my fifth thing. You know what, it's just going to sit in a garage or a barn or it's going to sit in a storage unit. I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine a couple weeks ago. He's like, yeah, I'm thinking about investing in storage units. I said, of course you are. Everyone just keeps building and building and building. I'm driving down Dixie Highway, building a new storage unit facility. Why? Because we continue to accumulate stuff. And I like stuff. My basement's full of stuff. But the reality is our focus, our mindset should be in as we are sanctified, as we're growing in the Lord, the stuff really doesn't matter. My priorities begin to change. As Acts 2 says, they had all things in common. It's argued whether they lived in a commune here, but we do see they had properties and homes. And so I would tend to argue they didn't all live together. Thank the Lord, we're not trying to act like Acts 2 church and all live together. I'm not sure you'd want to live with me, and that's okay, all right? But the reality of that is, what were they doing? Yeah, this is my stuff, it's your stuff. How can we advance the gospel? What do you need? It's mine, it's yours. My priorities begin to change. I'll tell you this, as you seek to live for the Lord, as you grow, my priorities will change. Not maybe, not I'm not sure. They will change. So they shared property, they sold property, shared possessions, distributed, carried needs. And this one mind, what was that? Unity. Unity. As you grow together, as we grow in the Lord. And I find it interesting, if you look at many of the epistles that Paul writes, the letters, almost every single letter he writes to the churches, you can find the idea of unity in it. You really can. Why? Because he knew we'd need it. Because division is natural, unity is hard. We got to humble ourselves. We got to fight for unity. That's as Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, right? The reality of that, as we grow and as we mature, we'll find ourselves being peacemakers. But then in verse 46, this is hopefully will bring some real application to growing in our walks with Christ. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. I love verse 46 because it's a day by day. It's a day by day focus on the things of the Lord. It doesn't say week by week. Doesn't say month by month. Doesn't say bi-weekly. It's a day by day spiritual discipline of seeking to grow in our knowledge and our understanding of the work of and the word of the Lord. A day by day thing. The stats are, I would say, horrifying when it comes to this idea of Christians. They say the average Christian, and I don't know what this means, attends the gathering of the church 1.5 times a month. I don't know how you attend half a time. Do you leave after the message or you leave after the song? I don't know how that works, but 1.5 times, right? Average believer. And we'll take it one step further. Somewhat like 40% of that number attends something additional. 40% of that number. And so now we begin to, wow, that funnel gets smaller and smaller. Well, the reality of this call is we've been called day by day to be at the work and the study and in the word of the Lord. Spiritual growth takes, as Josh said last week, devotion. It takes focus. It takes effort. It's not accidental. It's intentional. Anything you want to do, you want to strive to lose weight this year, go to the gym once a month and tell me how that's going to go. Really? Come on. Like, no chance, right? You're paying a lot of money to go hang out with people once a month. But don't use it at the gym. You use it at anything. You want to build a discipline for anything, go do it once a month. Or even let's take it one step further, once a week. The reality of that is you will not develop in that skill set or that knowledge. It takes focus. It takes grit. It takes a daily commitment. It takes devotion for us to grow in our knowledge and in our understanding. A day-by-day discipline of working out in the word, practicing it. I love, as Paul tells Timothy, he says, practice these things in front of all people so that all may see your progress. That is a crazy statement and an empowering statement. What do you mean by that? Well, Paul tells Timothy, hey, guess what? Show everyone what the work of the Lord is doing in you. Show them how you're growing. And guess what? Even in that practice, it implies failure. It implies failure. So for many of us, we can go, hey, you know what? Day by day, I'm committing to the work of the Lord. Day by day, I'm going to open my Bible. Maybe it's just a verse. Maybe it's just a chapter. There's great apps out there that give you reminders now. It's great. But the reality is it's easier to turn on the TV to watch a few minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, like, oh my goodness, how did I just get 2.5 hours into a show? And all of a sudden, I didn't open my word. I didn't open the word tonight or today. See, he's being intentional. A day-by-day discipline, devotion to the word. It's a longing for that. What I love about the early church is their longing for the word of God. I love that. It's incredible. If you miss that out in Acts chapter really 2, you've missed a big portion. They had a longing for the word of God. A longing that I'm honestly jealous of. They wanted to know more. Like, all right, Peter, teach us more. All right, one of the other apostles, teach us more. We want to hear more about what the words of Jesus is. Can you tell us some of these, the words that he preached at the Sermon on the Mount? Can you tell us how he compared the law? And it all makes sense now. And incredible. They had an appetite that was not satisfied. They wanted to know more. God, I want to seek you more. I want to know you more. What a mindset for us to live out. Like, more, God, I just want to know more of the word. I don't know, I can say this pretty confidently. I don't know anyone that has the word of God all figured out. You're like, well, that's the simple and dumbest statement you made all day. I know, all right? I don't know anybody. But yet, we think we've arrived. No, God, I'm going to place you right where I belong. God, I have an awe and I have a reverence for you. So they had day by day attending the temple together. There was that unity word again. The breaking bread, as Pastor Josh taught us last week, is that the Lord's Supper is that meeting. The reality is probably both. And so that's happening. And they received their food, verse 46 says, with glad and generous hearts. I love this portion. With glad and generous hearts. That word glad or gladness, maybe your translation that you're holding says, it's the idea of rejoicing. Yeah, the world's difficult. Yeah, this is a struggle. Yeah, I've got this going on. I've got that going on. Yeah, but we are rejoicing at the work and the word of God. And what a mindset for us to rejoice at it. To rejoice at the things of the Lord. To rejoice at what he's doing. To find a gladness in our hearts. But it doesn't just stop there with glad and generous hearts. Maybe your translation says a sincerity of hearts. This word here only appears in the New Testament. Simply meaning simplicity, free of weight. What is it? It's an overemphasis of, hey, my daily discipline, my priorities begin to be shaped, molded to what the Lord's are. I love this quote. The church should be a place where his word is proclaimed and explained. The word of God, as we open, as we seek to be fed, to be eat and just chew on it. That's a great thing about growth communities, is this idea of iron sharpens iron, as we're together, as we chew and understand and grasp. If you're not in a community that's seeking to grow together, you're missing out on what God has called you to do. The idea that I just want more, God. I just want to know you more. I want to hear more of your word. It's a desire that is just not fulfilled. I just want to know more of what your word is. This last year, I celebrated 20 years married to my wife. It's crazy. I'm like, how did we get here? She is so lucky, by the way. Not true at all, by the way, all right? But married 20 years, and I met her in college. And so I was going to a college in Grand Rapids. It's Grace Christian University. And so I was a year older than her in school, but I traveled 2 hours over there. My wife is from Southern California. And so I don't know why a Southern California girl would ever want to go to Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'd stay in Southern California, all right? Especially this time of year. And so we met pretty quickly, started dating in October, and started to fall in love, as you all can tell, know the story, right? And so Christmas break is starting to come. And so in college, Christmas break was 3-4 weeks. And so this is 2003, okay? For some of you, like, I have no idea that date. Some of you remember that date, that idea fondly. And so at this time, cell phones were pretty new, all right? If you're younger in here, you're like, all right, what's happening here? And you had to pay for minutes, all right? These are not the prepaid mode. And then they had minutes that would They were free after like 9 o'clock, right? Or they were this is pre-texting, by the way, for most of you. Some of you know that. Some of you are like, what is that world you're talking about? No social media there as well. I guess they probably had some weird social medias, but I was not hip with that. And so we had these phones. And so I remember having a phone, and my girlfriend at the time, we would talk all the time. We just wanted to talk. I wanted to know more about what's going on in her life. I wanted to hear what's going on. And so I just want to sit here and hear your breath as you breathe. No, I like that kind of idea, right? And so we talked every day. Well, we were not very disciplined at the time, all right? And so I remember my parents coming to me and saying, Caleb, your phone bill was $275 above. And so I was like, oh my goodness. And so I got in big trouble and dealt with that. But then my wife, she's 3 hours behind. Her bill was $950 additional. Thank goodness her parents are more graceful than mine were. All right. True story. They go to our Holly location. You get asked about that. It's a huge bill. And so I don't know if she ever got punished, but I probably owe them $950. All right. But why did I tell you that story? Well, this idea that I just wanted to know more about you. I wanted to know this fondness. I just wanted to grow in it. It was a desire, and that's what the same desire, and it's even more than that in Acts chapter 2 of the church. And I just want to know more of you, God. I want to open your word. I want to study it. I want to rightly divide it as the Bible describes. I want to grow in my understanding of my knowledge of what you said. How does it apply in my life? And then I want to watch the word transform me from the inside out, begin to sanctify me, mold me, shape me, make me a better man, make me a better woman, make me a better husband, make me a better mother, make me a better worker, make me a better pastor, make me a better neighbor. Begin to see that mold me, shape me, and transform me to something that I never thought I could be. What? By the power of God working in my heart. What I love. And I'm going to end here. And so if you got your Bible, flip two more chapters. Because I love this. You'll begin to see the transformation of growth here. Acts chapter 4. I'm going to read 13 verses. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And they were speaking to the people. This is Peter again and the apostles, Peter and John. They're speaking to the people, and the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people. I love that. That's fantastic, by the way. They were annoyed. They're like, hey, we're going to teach this. And they're like, why are you teaching that? They were annoyed. Because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day. For it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word and believed, and the number of men came to about now 5,000. All right, 120 now 5,000 in about 2-3 chapters. Verse 5, on the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem. When Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we be examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, he's referencing chapter 3, where they heal this man that's been crippled for years, that everyone in this community knows, an incredible miracle. And so he's referencing, say, hey, if we're being examined today concerning the good deed done to the crippled man, by what means this man had been healed? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. Wow, there's the power of God working there. I'm not even trying to get to my point, but I was just filled with air, right? That's such a good point. Verse 11, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you. The builders, which have become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. We just sang about that a couple minutes ago. For there is no other name under heaven given among men which we must be saved. And this is what I want you to hear, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. This is what I want you to see. If you would like to highlight in your Bible, you like to underline, this is the hammer. This is really good. And they recognize that they had been with Jesus. There it is. They recognized they had been with Jesus. These common fishermen seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, equipped for the work and the ministry of God. See, I want you to hear this morning. Our growth glorifies Jesus. Your neighbors will watch your growth and they'll recognize you've been with Jesus. Your coworkers will recognize, wow, something's changed. God is working in you. What's going on? They'll recognize you've been with Jesus. Husbands, you can go home and be different. And then your wife can say, what changed? You can say, I've been with Jesus. I've given him my life. I want him to transform me. I want him to make me new. I want him to sanctify me. I want him to change my priorities. And I want to glorify him with my actions, my responses, and everything that I say and do. Man, I want you to hear this very, very clearly this morning. We want the world to recognize we've been with Jesus because he gets glory, he gets honor, he is glorified when we live that out every single day. That's our focus, that's our mindset, that's our heartbeat. See, 1 Timothy 4, for this end we toil and strive. It's a battle. Nobody up here is going, hey, you know what? Live for Jesus, have a wonderful day. It's going to be, you're not going to have any issues tomorrow. Guess what? Monday's coming. Right? You're like, man, I got finances. I got struggles. I got this. I got that. I got all these things. I know. You walk outside, it's like 8 degrees negative. It's terrible. But what? We toil and we strive because our hope is set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Church, hear me. I beg you, listen to this. Verse 13, they recognized they had been with Jesus. Man, I pray that's what people say about us. I pray that's what people say about you. I pray that's what people say about your marriage. I pray that's what people say about your family. I pray that's what people say about your job. I pray that's what people say when we're driving down the road. I pray that's what people say when we go to lunch this afternoon. I pray that's what people every single day, wow, live with Jesus. He's shaping them. He's molding them. He's making them new. Something's changed. They're growing. So that's my prayer for us this morning. Our heartbeat, our desire, if you will, as Pastor Josh said, our devotion is to be that. I pray for you this morning.